and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map, and today my guest is Chris DuPont, CEO and co-founder of Galen Data, a turnkey cloud tech company for medical devices. Today, Chris and I talk about the effect the pandemic has had on telemedicine and medical devices. He will also share why he feels Houston is the next great hub for medical innovation. Chris, thank you so much for joining me today.
Natalie, it's an honor and privilege to be here.
So in a lot of ways, this pandemic has really shined a spotlight on the need for telemedicine, and Galen Data really exists to, you know, enable that in a lot of ways. So I imagine this has actually, you know, been a pretty busy time for you. Is that right?
It is. The COVID-19 has created all kinds of challenges, and I think in the long run, a lot of opportunities for Galen. I think there'll be a heightened awareness for the need for connected medical devices. Most people don't realize that most medical devices today aren't connected to the internet. And that's a fact. And we saw that 3 or 4 years ago when companies were coming to us to build them FDA compliant clouds one-off, and we did. And, you know, having the knowledge that most medical devices aren't connected and having deep expertise in the medical device industry, we saw a real opportunity. And, you know, unfortunately, as horrible as COVID is, there may be opportunities to help facilitate medical device manufacturers and get their devices connected. You watch the news, I watch the news. And just last night I was watching the news, and you wait 7 hours in a line to get your nose swabbed, and then 2 or 3 weeks to get the results. Mm-hmm. The technology's there. I just think it's crazy in today's world that they can't have the results immediately. And Galen, hopefully in the long run, will be able to facilitate that and make that a daily, you know, instant information of getting your medical device information back in the same day.
Yeah. And for listeners, kind of for some context, what specifically is Galen Data enabling? What are the challenges that, you know, medical device, you know, innovators, whether they're, you know, within the healthcare system or not, face with kind of creating these devices and doing it in like a HIPAA compliant kind of way? And that's kind of the role Galen Data plays, right?
That's a great question. And I've been in this industry for 20 years, and most legacy medical devices are not connected to the internet. All the new companies that are coming to us, the emerging wearable tech, connectivity is vital in their product rollout. And so the challenge is that it's very expensive to build these systems based on the FDA regulations and all the standards and regulations you have to comply with. And so Galen will help facilitate. We're a platform. We're mm-hmm. essentially the Salesforce.com, but hyper focused on the medical device industry. We make it easy, along with all the HIPAA compliance and regulatory concerns, to connect medical devices to an FDA compliant cloud. No longer does a company, a startup, or even a mature medical device company that's redeploying their tech, it shouldn't take a year and, you know, $500,000 to $1 million to build your own FDA compliant cloud. Galen can do that at a fraction of the time and schedule, along with complying with all the different regulations.
So when exactly did you take us back, I guess, to the beginning? When did you have the idea for the company, and what were some early challenges?
So there's a well-known medical device company here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And I tried to solve this problem 15 years ago, and the infrastructure wasn't there. Most people didn't have cell phones. I left and worked for a company that we did Class 2 and Class 3 medical device. And having the knowledge that most medical devices aren't connected, companies were coming to us, asking us to build these one-off solutions. And we built many. And each time we built them, we had to turn over all the software. And then we had early stage companies come to us, and they had the same need, but they couldn't afford that $500,000 price tag. And so based on a real problem out there, we saw an opportunity to create a platform, a hyper-focused, purpose-built for medical device connectivity platform to make it easy to connect medical devices to an FDA-compliant cloud, along with the staging platform for predictive analytics. Mm-hmm. And not just getting that data, but being able to predict when that bearing in that heart pump will fail. There is no equivalent of a check engine light today. You drive a modern car, check engine light goes on, right? You either have maybe a low tire pressure or there's something wrong with your engine. That check engine light does not exist in medical device today. So it's kind of crazy, right? Wouldn't you want to know if your drug pump was starting to have problems, if some of those electromechanical systems were starting to fail? wouldn't you want that equivalent of a check engine light in your medical device?
Probably more than I would want it for my car.
I know. What's the price tag of a human body compared to a car, right? It's priceless.
I know it's very B2B, kind of where you direct most of your attention is kind of being that hinge between. But you feel like when you explain what you're doing, there's like a pushback of, you know, personal medical data being out there. Is this like a challenge kind of helping people understand kind of that impact?
Super, super great question. So I'm going to answer it in two parts. One, we're data agnostic. So it's the manufacturer that decides what data they transfer. And they could de-identify the data. They don't have to send personal names. I mean, that's what we did. We had a three-letter identifier. And so that's up to the manufacturer. But more importantly, if you were the parent of a child and they had a seizure, an epileptic seizure at some restaurant, wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to be able to provide aid or have an automatic 911 call go out? That doesn't exist today. Or an EpiPen discharges. Wouldn't you want to know that as a parent? Or maybe your heart pump starts to malfunction. Wouldn't you want to know that as a caregiver? So yes, there's certain risk in health data, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think there's far greater risk in not having access to that health information when there's a device issue or when your drug pump starts to run low on drugs. And so I think having access, and you can make it safe and secure getting access and limiting that information just to the critically important information about that device. Mm-hmm. And the part two is that we can secure the information. The manufacturer can limit the information. So that is security in itself. And then I think there's far greater risk in not having access to certain critical data of that medical device when it malfunctions or when that check engine light goes on and you don't know about it.
Yeah, and I think it's even more of a relevant conversation nowadays with all of the, you know, COVID-19 information out there, where a lot of people are finding holes in different information, and we're all very wary of that information. But if we had more of this data and more ability to kind of connect the dots, there wouldn't be that, you know, questioning of the numbers and everything. I wonder if you've observed that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I watch too much news, and one news channel reports this, another news channel reports that. You go to the website, you get another information. I just heard somebody this morning on the news, somebody was killed in a motorcycle crash. He also had COVID. They said he was killed by COVID. You know, so it's all in the data. The data is the gold. And if you can get predictive analytics and do real mathematical analysis on that data, I think you'll be miles ahead.
So shifting gears a little bit from the coronavirus, really the timing worked out for us to talk for this podcast episode because last week y'all announced a new partnership with a fellow Texas company. So let's talk about kind of how that partnership came about and what y'all are doing.
So the one, as an engineer, the one super cool thing I get to be involved with is all this different technology. And so a company came to us just through general networking out of Boston. And, you know, I grew up watching Star Trek. And so Bones would be having a patient, an overhead monitor, remotely monitoring the vitals of these patients. That Star Trek technology exists today. And one of the companies, ATS or Cardio IO out of Austin, is able to measure vitals, you know, 10, 15, 20 feet away using near field radar. And it's an early stage company. They need to focus their engineering and clinical skills on their core technology. But having connectivity, getting remote access to the data is key. They were spending considerable resources, money, and time developing their own remote cloud. And when they became aware of Galen, we were purpose-built and largely turnkey. We were a plug-and-play for them. And now they can save those money and time and focus their energies on perfecting their medical technology. And that's the real value proposition of Galen, is that, you know, you shouldn't have to spend your money on infrastructure. Let Galen be that infrastructure. And this company, I'm super excited about it. Being able to, you know, walk into a clinic and have your vitals remotely monitored, I think is going to be a game changer. And remote connectivity is key to their success.
It's interesting that you brought up space too, because y'all both have a NASA background for the companies. So tell us a little bit about that. It's very Houston and / Texas that happens, right?
Yeah. So both of my parents were engineers, aerospace engineers, worked Mercury, Apollo, and Gemini. And as a small child, my whole dream was to work for NASA. And that led me to getting a master's in electrical engineering and cold calling all the contractors here in Houston. And I was lucky enough, IBM brought me down to work Space Station Freedom in the 90s. And it was a dream come true. I was in the control center, helped build the new, what we call the Blue Ficker. I walked the very halls of Neil Armstrong and Gus Grissom, used the same coffee stations. To me, it was almost a religious experience. NASA is, I'm still, a NASA geek, so to speak. It's very important. And I often joke that I have a genetic disorder called entrepreneurialism. And when it itches, I scratch it. It's taking me down some good roads, and it's taking me down some bad roads. And, when you get into a large government bureaucracy, and you want to move fast, things happen. So I became aware of a medical device company where we're building a Class 3 neurostimulator. And one thing led to another. And the skills it takes to write software for the shuttle is very similar to the skills it takes to write software for medical devices. They're both very mission critical. When we communicate and send commands to the space shuttle or space station, it was 200 miles. When we send commands to an implantable device, it's 2 inches. The way we do it, the commands we send, the authentication is very, very similar. They're both mission critical. If we mess up, we hurt people. And so that the culture of NASA and medical device, I think, go hand in hand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also the whole aspect that there is a space-specific medical industry, that is evolving or is, I guess, emerging. So where is that at from your perspective?
So that's another great question. So the medical device industry is very unique and different in that there's a genesis that has to go on. There was a company called Intermedics in Angleton that was building pacemakers. The company I went to, it was Cyberonics. It was pacemaker-like technology, but we applied electrical pulse to the vagus nerve, and it was the first device ever approved by the FDA to treat a neurological disorder. Founded 25 years ago. And so from Intermedics came Cyberonics, and then several of us have left Cyberonics. A lot of my friends have started companies. There's one in another company in Austin that is very successful. Other friends have started service companies for design and engineering, regulatory, clinical. You need all these components, and all that is organically now being grown here in Houston. So I truly believe that we're at that tipping point between, Natalie, what you're doing with the innovation here in Houston is huge. Yes, there's more startup on the coast, but I think there's real opportunity here for the startup medical device with TMCX and J-Labs. And now we're at that tipping point where there are enough industry experts and companies here in Houston to do all the services. I don't have to make recommendations to go outside of Texas. A lot of the recommendations for regulatory and clinical are right here in Houston, and that's pretty exciting. So I truly believe that Houston, including Galveston and Dallas and San Antonio and Austin, will be the next biotech core of the United States. We have the world's largest medical center. We don't need to be shipping the IP out to the coast to develop. We now should have the skills right here in Houston. Houston has huge amounts of manufacturing capability. Mm-hmm. Why can't we manufacture all the components for medical device, from plastics to electronics? I'm starting to get excited, so forgive me, but I think there is a lot of energy and capability right here at Houston's core to do anything Class 2, Class 3 medical device.
I love talking about kind of how Houston has emerged and has so much potential, especially in this space. So I wonder, with what you've observed, what do you see as holding Houston back, and why aren't we already at to this, why are we still emerging and not already kind of established as a kind of medical innovation ecosystem? What are some things that you still see we have to overcome?
Part of it is time and building the expertise. I think we've largely done that. We have the technical expertise. One thing people used to complain about is there's not the C-level employees, the executives, the VP of manufacturing, VP of clinical. I don't agree with that. I think a lot of that expertise is here. The engineering skills, we have NASA, we have the world's, again, the universities between Rice, UT, A&M, University of Houston, we have world-class universities within two hours of Houston's core. We have the academics, we have the engineering skills, we have the manufacturing capability. I think the biggest obstacle is funding. I mean, we're facing that right now too. So startups need funding. Medical device companies are pretty capital intensive. Now, Galen is a software company, so we're not nearly as capital intensive as a traditional manufacturing company. And that's starting to change. The Houston Angel Network, they've been a big advocate and partner of Galen. The Texas Halo Fund, let me give a big shout out to Halo. They've been a big supporter of Galen. HTC, what used to be HTC, now we have TMCX and JLabs. What you're doing, I think the tide is starting to change, but we need more help on the, you know, on the investment side, but it's coming. It's just, you know, never fast enough, right?
Yeah, and funding is more or less the most responded answer to what obstacles Houston still faces. So you're right on par with other industries and medical devices and medical innovation in general. So for you, and I know you've raised money, where are you at in your funding journey? And what specific challenges are you facing on this leg of fundraising?
So thank you for that. Yes, we've been successful in the past, largely organically, all here in Houston, raising what we need. We prefer to continue down that path. We're good for now, but we will be entering another series of investments here in the next couple months to take us to the next growth. Galen, we're post-revenue. We have international customers. We have multi-billion dollar customers. We have early stage customers. But we want to stay here in Houston. We want to continue to grow here in Houston. And so, yes, we'll have additional funding needs. And that is a future event for us as a new raise. And let me also give a shout out to Mercury Data Sciences. That's another resource we have here in Houston. They have 20 data scientists working on deep analytics. And so when Galen needs certain expertise, a vertical expertise on a highly specialized skill for data analytics, we now at least have an informal partnership with Mercury Data Science that will work with us and help solve those complicated analytics tasks as we move forward.
Very familiar with Mercury Data Science, and I think they're kind of a very well-kept secret in what they're doing, and it's cool to see kind of how they've, you know, are a resource and a partner in that way. So I wonder, kind of going back to, you know, being post-revenue and having all of these clients, for you, what does, you know, more funding mean? I assume growth. So I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about some kind of long-term growth plans you have.
Sure. So we're very fortunate. We just hired our chief marketing officer. He's helping us. He's a new hire. He's organic to Houston too. He's been in the startup scene. Super privileged and honored to have him. We're just now getting started on a digital rollout of our marketing campaigns. You'll see more activity on the social feeds. We can't travel. We can't do exhibits. We have to be very, very smart and efficient with our money. I have to get $2 every $1 I have. And so we now need to grow the company. As we grow, we're going to need more engineering services, technical services, marketing services, regulatory services. And so pretty much everything you need, except short of manufacturing, because we're a software company, we'll need all the classical skill sets as we grow, and we'll need more of them. We're doing fine now, but another, you know, 10 or 15 customers, even though Galen is a product, we're going to need to beef up everything Galen.
Well, that's exciting too, to kind of have that foresight and to be able to kind of look forward and see this growth that you're on the path of. I wonder, kind of in light of, you know, what plans you have to grow Galen Data, and also with the never-ending, so it seems, pandemic, what keeps you up at night in terms of thinking about your business? And it's one of my favorite questions to ask people. So I wonder, what are you most focused on? What do you keep a close eye on?
The honest answer is everything keeps me up. I routinely get woken up at 3:30. But from sales to signing that next customer to building out our CRM, our sales organization, the good thing, and what's interesting about my new job, my new position as this role, is that there's a lot of human touches in everything we do. And so, you know, being compassionate, not just about the technology, but about the customer and getting the features built into the Galen platform that the next customer has. It's a constant battle of where we want to be tomorrow and the resources we have today. And so, honestly, the things that keep me up the most, though, is that next contract, making sure I have the resources to fulfill the next contract. That software development effort we need to get done, those keep me up. Regulatory, does the FDA come with? So let's talk about that a little bit, is that quality management systems are extremely important to medical device companies. From day one, we started laying the grounds or the cornerstones for our quality management system. So, and I built quality management systems from scratch. And for medical device, there's something called 1345. We are a 1345 2016 certified company. And for the folks out there, that means it's a global recognized body for quality management systems for medical device. We're independently audited against this. And that keeps me up sometimes, because in November we'll have an audit. And as hard as you try, there's always, you know, something that you can do a little better. But we're constantly improving our quality management system. And that's important because we design and operate as a class 3 medical device. And I think that's unique. And that's the most stringent level of classification you can operate to. But you're always worried, did I miss something? Yes or no? And we have written procedures. We're constantly evaluating those procedures. And that's a good thing. And it's a changing landscape, too. The FDA might come back and reclassify what connection means, what cybersecurity means, what HIPAA means. And so, and I've been through that where the FDA takes a different interpretation. So we design and operate as a class 3 medical device company, and that keeps me up. So going back to your original question, everything keeps me up. I'll joke it aside.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, you're juggling a lot of different entities. And to kind of segue back into talking about Houston, because I did promise that we'd end talking about Houston, and because I know you're very passionate about kind of where Houston is as a developing kind of medical innovation space. So I wanted to ask you, one thing that I know Houstonians struggle with is telling their story and kind of bragging about themselves. So I wonder if you could brag about Houston for a second, to not that we have international or non-Texas listeners, but there might be some out there. What do you want people to know about Houston as a developing innovation hub for medical devices and medicine in general?
What I love so much about Houston is extremely diverse. There's people all over the world, all different languages here in Houston. I don't think you can find a better meal any place better than Houston. The food is global. If you're a foodie, Houston is the place to be. And remember, Houston is traditionally, from the very early days of Houston, we're wildcatters. We have that strong entrepreneurial spirit. We're largely an oil and gas town. Houston has the world's largest medical center. So what? Not only can we be the greatest oil and gas town, we can also be the greatest medical device innovation center. And so it's all here: the technology, the engineering, the schools, the universities, the manufacturing capability. That's all right here in Houston. So yes, I'm a little bullish on Houston, but I think it's a hidden gem. It's a diamond in the rough, so to speak. And Galen's doing it. And look, we didn't do it by ourselves. We did it with the help of folks like you, from the Halo, from the Houston Angel Network, from, you know, just the networking that's starting to grow here in Houston from an innovation point of view. Houston was the control center where we put the first human being on the moon. We have the capability and the spirit. We just got to shift our thinking a little bit from oil and gas into medical device innovation and software. And I think we're starting to do that. And Galen is honored and privileged and humbled to be part of that journey.
Yes, the tide has changed a little bit. It's a new age for Houston, so I really appreciate your perspective and where you come from, and I congratulate you on your success. So thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciated your point of view and hearing all about where Galen Data's been and where it's going. So thanks again for your time.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
Thanks for listening to the Houston Innovators Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and keep up with all things Houston innovation at innovationmap.com.